It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace, number 114. Wow, there's just been so much going on this week again. But let's begin with the horrendous story of Harvey Weinstein. Now, without going into all the details, and some magazines really have gone into details, the fall of the Hollywood producer has caused considerable concern and ruckus in the media. I was particularly intrigued with what Hillary Clinton had to say, whereby she condemned her former backer.
This kind of behavior cannot be tolerated anywhere, whether it's in entertainment, politics. Well, you know, after all, we have someone admitting to being a sexual assaulter in the Oval Office. There has to be a recognition that we must stand against this kind of action that is so sexist and misogynistic.
Do you know this? What I found really hard was that she was again speaking with this language that implies that it's all men that are involved in this, and complaining about a man who used his power to gain sexual favors from young interns. And what about her husband? And what about the defense that she made of him? But I think what's even more astonishing than that is the hypocrisy of the Hollywood elite, many of whom did know about Weinstein. He was a standing joke. And he was considered to be too powerful. Of course, now they've all turned on him. Do you know another example of hypocrisy? He funded and led a march against Donald Trump, particularly because of Trump's remarks about women. But then here's something else from, I think, a Christian perspective. What do you expect from a culture which celebrates sexual promiscuity and worships the unholy trinity of sex, money, and power? It really is astonishing that people just don't grasp that if we set this up, then this kind of thing is going to happen. It's an example, again, of something. This will not be the last time. This will happen again and again. And I know that our experts are going to say, well, it's because of men, and we just need to continue the feminization of society. But that's not the case. I'm afraid a drunk man or a drunk woman, a man or a woman who uses sex, both can do that. Both can abuse. It really is more to do with the attitudes that we have in our culture. Do you know, this would be heresy in most liberal circles today. But maybe Mary Whitehouse was right. Speaking of hypocrisy, there's an amazing story of a French singer called Bertrand Cantat. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but that is what he's called. He's produced an album called L'Angleterre, England, in which he attacks the British for Brexit and he talks about justice and so on.
De l'Europe, ils ont pris la fuite, ça limite encore l'horizon. Brexit, tes illusions.
Well, again, without going into the Brexit argument, of which I am now so fed up, because we know what's happening. We know that the EU are trying to hold Britain to ransom. We know that the Remainers, as they called, are saying it's the end of the world, doom and gloom, everything to blame on Brexit. And we know that the Brexiteers are saying everything's going to be rosy. And this whole game is being played out. But let's leave aside that. This man is an example of absolute hypocrisy. Because he sings about justice and he sings about caring for refugees. But why is he a hypocrite? Because he beat his lover to death. He's a married man, but he had a lover who was a mother of four children. He was sentenced to 7 years in jail, in a Lithuanian jail, of which he served three. He's a Frenchman. When he got out, his wife, who had stuck by him, killed herself after 6 months, citing psychological and physical abuse from him. And yet this man is lauded. Like Weinstein is lauded. Like Roman Polanski is lauded, the child rapist. I mean, our elites condemn Donald Trump, and in many ways, I think rightly, and we'll come on to that another time. But they then excuse their own. And it, I mean, I find it astonishing. Their Bertrand Cantat is now appearing in iconic left-wing cultural magazines and demonstrating once again, as The Spectator put it, that the world of the arts has a strange set of values. Let's stick with this theme of a strange set of values. I don't know if in that last wee section you came across the astonishing fact that a man who beat a woman to death served 3 years in prison for that crime. 3 years. Well, Crime and Punishment, eh? Dostoevsky, what would you make of this? The Metropolitan Police in London are being issued with instructions not to investigate low-level shoplifting below £50 or burglaries without violence in order to try and save £400 million. My advice? If you are a shopkeeper who starts losing things, if your home is burgled, then just phone up the police and tell them it's a hate crime. They'll be around instantly. I've been reading a lot about the NHS recently, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I love it. I'm a great beneficiary of it. But I am concerned at the fact that it's struggling with money and struggling to get people. And then along comes this story. NHS England are now telling doctors and all frontline professionals that they are to ask everyone who comes to them, if they do not have the information already, about their sexuality. Now that's it's just an extraordinary thing, isn't it? Why not ask every patient about their income or their religion or their political views? This is apparently to comply with the Equalities Act. But can you imagine a 15-year-old teenage girl going to the doctor with acne and being asked about her sexual orientation? And I don't wish to mention my mother too much, but my 80-year-old mother going to the doctor with flu and being asked about her sexual orientation. What does that have to do with healthcare? I think, as one doctor put it, given the precious short amount of time a GP has with a patient, sexuality is not relevant. There are very few medical conditions that are affected by it. But this is the madness of our culture. That pales into triviality compared with the madness of abortion. Now, I met David Steele. In fact, I knew David Steele when he stood for rector of Edinburgh University, and I was part of his supporting campaign. However, when he came as the Queen's Lord High Commissioner to the Free Church Assembly, I got up and walked out. Because what that man did, even as somebody who went to the church, was appalling. Now, he himself admitted he had not anticipated the amount of abortions there would be. But that's often the way. 50 years ago, this Abortion Act was passed. There was a programme called The Moral Maze on this subject, and it was actually very, very good on the BBC. I put a link to it on the website on the LED, part of my blog, rather. And there was a man on that, a Catholic moral ethicist called Ed Condon, and I thought he was absolutely superb, really, really excellent. It is something that we need to remember, that in all the evil and wickedness in this world and all the things that we get upset about, the fact that there are tens of thousands in this country, in the United States and elsewhere, of children in the womb who are being killed because it's inconvenient for them to be born, that is something that is a shameful and dark stain on our society, and something for which we will be answerable to God. I thought this was a joke. Thomas the Tank Engine. No, this is not a joke. Thomas the Tank Engine is to be revamped so that this children's program will be more politically correct. There will be 3 female engines now, as well as the 4 male ones. Though the thought did cross my mind, why not a transgender one? And Thomas is going to get away from the United Kingdom. He's going to travel the world. It really is extraordinary in its evolution. The cartoon, we are told, will tackle and teach kids about quality education, gender equality, sustainable cities and communities, responsible consumption and production, and life on land.
Thomas is a tank engine who lives at a big station on the island of Sodor. He's a cheeky little engine with 6 small wheels, a short stumpy funnel, a short stumpy boiler, and a short stumpy dome.
What's going on here? We are now at a stage in our culture where, in our education system, we are doing social engineering. In our television, it is social engineering. We are not teaching children how to think, we are telling them what to think. And that's why if you went into most schools, you will find that the children all have the same opinions, the opinions of their teachers. Time has gone, but I just want to mention one other thing, and that is the battle for free speech. Again, a remarkable BBC program on a comment on what is going on in the United States. And again, there is a link to it on my blog. It is incredible that we've now got to a situation where there are people who are claiming that free speech is a tool of oppression, that science is actually a tool of oppression. This is the madness. Well, where can we end all of this? I met somebody recently who said, you know, David, I love the analysis that you do. Sometimes I kind of get kind of depressed about it. Well, listen, if you're a Christian, don't get depressed. It's actually far worse than I'm saying. But don't get depressed because we've got the light in the darkness. Not us, but Christ. And in all this stuff that's happening, it wasn't any lighter, if you like, in the Roman world, in the pagan world, in the Greco-Roman pagan society in which the gospel first came and turned that world upside down. That's what we're doing. So be aware of what's going on, but always let your light shine in the darkness. God bless and see you next week.